So the focus of my presentation then is calorie balance. And again, this is all data that was researched and translated into the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And so we just start with the background that the United States is experiencing an epidemic in obesity and overweight, which I'm sure all of you are aware of and concerned about. And one of the major causes, of course, is poor diet and physical inactivity. And so the 2010 Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee felt there was an urgent need to address this matter. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2010 include a more prominent focus on weight and calorie balance than previous guidelines. The goals of the discussion today are to review the recommendations in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2010 that relate to calorie balance, and to discuss how these recommendations can be implemented by you to affect change in a population level. And then finally, just to highlight consumer messages that were released with the guidelines that may help you to translate these messages to the public. The guidelines are this colorful policy document. They're divided into six chapters that focus on different aspects of eating. But in their entirety, they offer 23 recommendations that are targeted to the general population and six that are targeted to specific populations, and they are designed to provide an overall integrated approach to improve the health of Americans through healthy eating and physical activity. Two overarching concepts that are weaved throughout the dietary guidelines include the concept to maintain calorie balance over time to achieve and sustain a healthy weight, and the second to consume nutrient-dense foods and beverages. And I'm sure you know how difficult these two concepts are to translate to the public. So the guideline committee really strove to provide you with strategies and principles that you may find useful to help translate these to the general public. The second chapter, balancing calories to manage weight, really addresses specifically this calorie balance issue and describes the calorie balance concerns, and it identifies calorie sources for Americans and identifies environmental factors that have contributed to the obesity and overweight epidemic. And finally, it offers diet and physical activity principles that can be used to help Americans achieve calorie balance. So there's a high level or high prevalence of overweight and obesity in virtually every subgroup in America. So clearly, Americans are out of calorie balance. In fact, they're eating more calories than they're able to expend. And so many of the recommendations in the guidelines are given in a context of really helping Americans to decrease the number of calories that they routinely consume, or to prevent an increase in their calorie intake and to encourage more physical activity. And these are the four key recommendations that are in the guidelines. In the balance your calorie balance chapter, but prevent and reduce overweight and obesity through improved eating and physical activity behaviors, control total calorie intake to manage body weight, and for those who are overweight or obese, this means a reduction in the calories that they're taking in from foods and beverages, to increase physical activity and to reduce time spent in sedentary behaviors routinely, and finally to maintain appropriate calorie balance during each stage of life. And the guidelines have specific recommendations that address childhood and adolescence, adulthood, pregnancy and breastfeeding, and older age Americans. The guidelines also include a number of evidence-based strategies to help Americans to achieve calorie balance, and these are based on systematic reviews that were conducted by the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee. The series of systematic reviews are available to the public at the www.nel.gov website that's on the slide template at the lower right-hand corner. So the committee asked a question related to diet self-monitoring, and there was strong evidence that showed that monitoring what and how much is consumed is an effective way at helping Americans lose weight and keep the weight off. They asked a number of questions looking at what is the optimal macronutrient content of a weight loss diet, and really found that the most important focus for weight loss and maintenance of weight loss is really the total number of calories, and as long as the macronutrient content of the diet is within the IOM broad range of recommendations, a number of different diets can be effective, and what's really important is what can an individual maintain, what can they follow. Eating patterns vary among different segments of the population, and there's not just one eating pattern that is helpful at achieving energy balance, but the characteristic that is similar across these eating patterns is low energy density, which means that the dietary pattern is high in fruits and vegetables and fiber, whole grains, and low in solid fats and added sugars. So those are some strategies that are recommended by the committee. One of the environmental factors that has been influential in the weight gain or in the weight gain and overweight epidemic is certainly portion size. And so two of the recommendations are really looking at portion size. One, recommending that Americans reduce the intake, prepare, serve, and consume smaller portions at home, and when they eat out, to ask for or order or choose smaller portions of healthier foods. There's a recommendation to eat a nutrient-dense breakfast. And then finally, two recommendations or two strategies that really address physical activity. One, to increase physical activity routinely, and the second to really try to reduce the amount of sedentary activities. Now, these are not the only strategies that are helpful at losing weight, but these were the ones that there was sufficient evidence to support a recommendation. If you look on the CNPP website, very soon there'll be a new tool available that will help Americans to track their goals. And this is an exciting tool. It consolidates many of the features of the My Pyramid tool. It has a more robust database supporting it, and Americans will also be able to track physical activity. So in the next few weeks, I would encourage you to take a look at the Super Tracker and see whether or not that would be helpful for the community in which you work. Within the Dietary Guidelines, there's a new chapter in this guideline, and it's entitled Helping Americans Make Healthy Choices. And this really recognizes the importance of, one, the current food and physical activity environment, which for better or for worse, influences the choices that people make. And second, it recognizes that all elements of society, individuals, families, communities, businesses, and various levels of government have a role to play in the movement of making America healthy. And it identifies a number of actions that these various players can do to improve the health of Americans. And so this call of action, it really recognizes that, yes, nutrition and physical activity choices are made at the individual or perhaps the family level, but the healthy options need to be affordable, available, and opportunities for exercise need to be available for Americans to choose. And so the committee issued this call of action, and it invites all of us to ensure that Americans have access to nutritious foods and opportunities for physical activity, ensures that multiple segments of influence in the community help to facilitate individual behavior changes through environmental strategies, and finally, a focus on children and setting the stage for lifelong healthy eating, physical activity, and weight management behaviors. And I don't have space on the slides to provide the breadth of recommendations or actions that are included in this sixth chapter, but I think as public health professionals, you'd be very interested in the range of recommendations that are incorporated into this call of action. But just for three, empower individuals and families with improved nutrition, literacy, gardening, and cooking skills. The second one, initiate partnerships with food producers, retailers, and suppliers to promote development and availability of appropriate portions of affordable nutrition, food, and products. I certainly heard a lot of presentations that were focused on this level of action. And identify best practices to promote options of healthy eating and physical activity behaviors and to facilitate adoption of these practices. So again, I'd encourage you to take a look at that call of action that is in Chapter 6 of the dietary guidelines. When the guidelines were released, they were released along with this consumer messages campaign, and there are two messages as a part of this campaign that focus on balancing calories, and these are timed to be consistent with your New Year's resolution. So if you look at the goal for January, April 2012, the message is enjoy your food, but eat less. And so we're hoping that you might consider, moving that message forward in your community. And then for January through April 2013, the message avoid oversized portions. And if you go to the CNPP website, I would encourage you to become a community partner or join this communications network so that you can amplify this message both at the community and the national level. So in conclusion, the goal of the dietary guidelines is to improve the health of Americans during the current and future generations, and to do this by making healthy eating and physical activity choices the norm. And public health professionals like yourselves are perfectly placed to help develop the comprehensive and coordinated system-wide approaches that are needed to reshape the environment so that the healthy choices are the easy, the accessible, and the most appealing choices for all. So thank you very much. And on this slide are the URLs for some of the websites that I referred to.